Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Should I start things off?
Yes.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, God.
I think I've fallen in love with Jensen Ackles.
What?
I think I've fallen in love with Jensen Ackles.
And why is that, then?
Well, one, I've been rewatching Supernatural, which is reminded me of why I liked it, because of him. And then I heard his Batman. His Batman hits different. I'm not saying it's on Kevin Conroy levels. I'm saying like, but it, like it hit different. Like I was like, oh shit, okay, Batman. I mean, Jensen. I mean, what?
Let me put on my perfume and get ready for the occasion. Welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast talking about geekery, nerdism, and all else in between from a South London postcode. I am your host, Shanners. Next to me is the instant classic, bruv.
What? What?
And on the other side. Oh, sorry. Oh, what was that?
Jensen, I love you.
Okay, cool. On the other side of me, backing off slowly and should come back to the mic, is Booger Red, big man, yite.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome, Baron Silas Greenback, to the show. Thank you. Those silken, dusty tones.
Good afternoon. Good evening, everyone.
You forgot good night. You might as well finish the quote if you're going to go in. Yeah, commit to the bit, big man. Commit.
I will.
Well, this week, I believe, bruv, it's your turn to regale us with your tales. Intrigue.
Okay.
Right. Or is this going to be you and Jen's fan fiction? Because just let me know so I can go eat roast potatoes.
Well, I was, but I'm feeling the judgment. I don't appreciate it, so I'm gonna change the script a little bit.
Okay. Cool.
All right. I'm gonna take you back to a road paved all the way to the MCU, but where it actually began, paved in blood and awesomeness and one fine leather coat.
Brixton's changed. There's no need to go so harsh on it like that.
That's just mean. Just saying. But what I'm talking about, basically, I'm talking about how we got to the MCU. Like, what paved the way. And when I say paved the way in blood, it started with this one film. This film was the most successful Marvel film at the time, and it was the gateway to the plethora of comic book films that we proceeded to receive from that point onwards. I'm talking about the one and only, the Daywalker, the Dampier himself, Blade.
Media man.
What? See, why did you ruin my intro for? What? Why? See, this is why I don't do things anymore, man. I'm done.
Come back. Tell us about Meteor Man. You know I love it.
Wow. was talking about that the other
you
day, to be fair.
I said Meteor Man because I forgot the other one with Shaq in it. Is it Steel?
Oh, allow it.
Okay, once again, I said successful. Successful.
Successful. Yeah. Was it Steel?
Yeah, it was Steel, yes. Why do you keep bringing that film up for? Why?
I don't know. I don't know. But sorry, of course you're not talking about Steel or Meteor Man. You're talking about
Blade.
Thank you, big man.
Baron?
Now, I said what I said because what I said was facts. Blade was the first Marvel film that she hit the big time, that actually even paved the way for Marvel for comic book films in general. It came out in 1998 to meddling reviews, but a huge audience following. So cult fan following. Actually, it was received very well by audiences around the world. It grossed in America, if I'm not mistaken, about 70 million. Worldwide, it did 60 million, which was at the time unheard of for a comic book film, especially a film of that ilk with a main character being a black man. Because we can't really do that, can we?
No, of course not.
But it was a long road to get there because, honestly, Blade is he's definitely not one of the more popular characters in the MCU or in Marvel in general. He was technically, when he was first introduced into comic books, he was kind of like, you could say, a side character in a sense. I mean, he was kind of the protagonist, but because he first appeared in the Tomb of Dracula, if I'm not mistaken, and he was the jive talking badass that tried to save Dracula. But in the comic books, when he first appeared, he didn't have any. He wasn't a daywalker. He wasn't part vampire. He was just a guy who just was pretty badass. But I can't speak for everyone. But when I first discovered Blade, it was through the Spider-Man animated series. He was voiced by J.D. Hall, who is he's a part of a crew I like to refer to as the unknown legends of Hollywood. When I say unknown legends, I'm talking about actors you've seen in different TV shows and different films, be it a bit part, be it a background character. You've seen this guy, you've seen this person in something or other. He's like Patrick Kirkpatrick. He's like L. Bowen, who passed away recently, actually. If you don't know who L. Bowen is, L. Bowen was the psychiatrist in the Terminator films. He went on to be.
You know his face.
You know his face. And you probably know his voice. He went on after he retired from acting. He went to voice acting, so he voiced a lot of cartoons and video games onwards. But it's not about him. If you don't know who J.D. Hall is. The only thing I can think of that he was in that you might remember, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, there was an episode where Will got conned in pool games.
The main bad guy
in that story, the main pool guy who basically beat him. That's basically the original Blade. That's the first Blade.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know who he is.
Yes.
So
he was the first Blade. Originally, when they first got the rights, and it was Marvel was under New World Pictures, I think it was called. They wanted to actually stick to the original roots of Blade, him being just a normal guy, and they originally going to cast Roundtree, Shaft himself.
Oh really?
Yeah, he was going to be original Blade. Then they were playing about with it for a bit, and they wanted to get Denzel to play Blade.
Okay.
Yeah, they really wanted Denzel to play Blade. Yeah, Blade originally, but David Goyer, the guy who went on to write the Blade series and gone on to write a bunch of different comic book films as we know and love them. He pushed for Wesley Snipes to be Blade because he thought he fit the essence of what Blade was supposed to be. So,
and
originally, again, studios wanted to try and cast Blade as a white guy, and obviously David Goyer again pushed for it to be a black guy, for it to be Wesley Snipes, and that's what you got with the first Blade film. You got an authentic vampire comic book experience.
Yeah, it really was. I didn't see it in the cinema.
Neither did I.
I saw it on DVD.
Same.
Because I was a bit like, I think that poster, the poster looked like, it just looked like, with the whole shoulders, his neck's practically missing, and it just looked like, you know, UA Bowl Fair. So I was like, I don't know about this. I think I watched it with you proper the first time, but I'm not sure. I might have.
I'm not too sure.
I'm not sure. I think I watched it with some friends of mine at the time. Actually, yeah, I did. I do know now. I remember. I did. And we were kind of like, it was a what the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because Nebuchadnezzar Wright was in it.
Mm.
And Nebuchadnezzar Wright, I was crushed on since dead presidents. So, she's not wanting to get enough love and enough work. But Nebuchadnezzar Wright, she owned it in dead presidents. So to see, I was like, ah, familiar. But, and Tracy Lords was in it, which threw me off.
Yep.
But she was only in for like 5 seconds, it felt like.
But it's like 5 seconds because in the beginning, you're like, wait, what the?
Yeah.
What's Tracy Lords doing here? Kind of thing. And then that's cut, and then she gets killed. So, but yeah, I was blown away. I feel I couldn't believe what I watched. I had to watch it again.
See, everyone, because, sorry, it's going back. Yeah, Blade was one of those defining moments where you can always say, I remember I was, and what you were doing when you're watching it. Because very much like both of you, I remember watching this. Now, this is taking the old school. This was a video CD.
Yes, video. I had on video.
Yeah, I had on video. Yeah.
And I just remember it was like this massive talk of, oh, Wesley Snipes as a vampire, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, so let's see what he's saying. And that club scene was the game changer. I mean, hell, him walking into a club, the party popping off, the drain of blood coming down. And then the poor guy gets attacked. Then you just see those trains. No, sorry, the boots.
It's the boots.
Imagine you walked in Jordans.
Wait, Air Force One.
Black Air Force energy right there.
The pool of violence that kicked in. I'm like, oh shit. Oh wow, okay. We're onto something here. Head of the film. And it's ironic that you should mention that because mention Blade, sorry. I only watched it a couple of days ago, and the film is still class. Still class.
No argument here. Completely. No argument. Like, because I remember, again, my first experience with the Blade character was in the Spider-Man animated series. He was always screaming under his, like, screaming, like, VAMPIRE! Like, every 5 seconds. And, so, when... I remember, I think the first time I actually heard about Blade being created was on one of those Sky things, behind the scenes things, where they were talking, this is way before it actually was advertised or anything, or internet was a thing. It was basically, you had to watch TV or read a magazine. But it was like a behind the scenes clip of Stephen Dorff and Wesley Snipes having a sword fight. And I was like, they're actually doing Blade as a movie. And I was confused. I was like, why are they choosing him of all people to be in doing a movie? That's just so weird. Like, you know, so it didn't really occur to me because back then, if you're going to do a superhero film, you should go for one of the mainstream characters, like your Spider-Man, your X-Men, this and that. But they went with Blade. I mean, like, and I was just like, he's a cool character from what I remember of the cartoons, but they're going to make a film around this guy? Then when I did some research, I was like, okay, but like in the comic book context, he hadn't been in comic books for ages, and as timeline goes, he was still technically just a human. But like obviously in the cartoons, he was a daywalker, he was a half vampire. So I was like, okay, all right, this might be something. And then after seeing it, anytime you think Blade, I just think Frost. It's like, yes.
I think that and
some
and
motherfuckers. Like, some it. Motherfuckers always try and ice skate out here. I was like, yes.
the thing is, right, for me, no matter how good Blade is, and don't get me wrong, Blade is brilliant. I have to give props to Deacon Frost, man. I'm sorry.
Stephen Dorff. That was him at his best. Yeah.
Dorff absolutely nailed that. absolutely nailed it. I mean, one of my favorite parts, and I'm sorry, was the part where I can never remember his sidekick, the one whose hand got chopped off at the beginning.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I forgot, guys.
The big sequence when Blade breaks in on the bike and goes, oh, he's standing there. And he's got the spinny thing. Goes, oh, the spinny thing. Yeah, he throwed it up. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
It's the way that the
show wears
down.
Oh yeah, sorry, you put it in the air, you put the thing underneath. Shut the fuck up. Oh yeah, that was that. Yeah. Oh, he was just cold. He was always so cold.
That was the gift of the first Blade and the second Blade, is making the protagonist be like, I'm sorry, we're doing who now? Because he used to be Steven Dorham, be like, sorry, what? Steven Dorham? And then we got Deacon Frost. I was like, you know what? Man took out a next vampire's teeth and threw them down. I was like, okay, you're cold. That is cold blooded. I even though the sunscreen thing does not hold weight, I'm sorry, what about the follicles of your hair? Just saying. But yeah. I thoroughly enjoy. I enjoyed Steven Dorff more than I should have enjoyed Steven Dorff on Blade, because he was fantastic casting.
Yeah,
totally.
Exactly. I don't think his levels went up after that, because he could have kicked on so much, and I don't think he did. I mean, last time I saw Steven Dorff was in that, oh god, one of the Texas Chainsaw prequels.
Oh no, oh dear.
But yeah, that's just a whole different story. But yeah, he's just one of those bitter people now, unfortunately.
Oh, poor man's Christian Slater has fallen down the hall.
So was Christian Slater's cousin. Like, Steve Slater, but changes the Dorff.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I don't like to say the stereotype that all white people look the same, but Stephen Dorff and Christian Slater, You what?
Wow. Are you going down a rabbit hole?
No, say again.
Have they ever worked?
They have, actually. They have been in the film together, actually. I can't remember what it was called, but I know for a fact they have been in the film together. One second.
I'm now like, what the?
It wasn't Mobsters, was it, by any chance?
Right. Film with Christian Slater and Stephen Dorff.
What is that?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, what is it? Go on.
It was a UA Bowl film.
I was...
Really?
Oh my god.
It was Alone in the Dark.
Oh no! Oh, I didn't mean to say. I didn't think you ever would make an actual appearance in this podcast.
Well, you cursed it, sis, so it's your fault, and there you go.
Wow.
You got the answer to your question, signature. And Big Man Art. So Blade, actually, to be fair, you can blame Chantel and you can blame Big Man, because you said his name and Big Man asked the question. So there you go. Yeah, I'm the innocent bystander. I just wanted to talk about Rose paved in blood by Blade.
I'm very sorry. No one needs to do that. And as you can tell, we'll probably never ever do a UA Bowl movie on this podcast and anything other than discuss disdain and shit.
Maybe we should. What do you think? No?
No. That,
why not?
Okay. The end of days comes in when we're either covering UA Bowl, Cutthroat Alley, or Emotional Backgammon. That's the end of days.
As soon as you mention backgammon, now I'm out. I'm tapping out. I'm done.
Quinner.
Isn't it? Come back. Anywho, back to play. Okay, an elephant in the room. We're gonna say it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The key time is it was 1998.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that the effects, especially at the end, probably don't hold up to scrutiny. But can we say it was 1998? Well, that was pretty good for the time.
Well, to be fair, compared to the alternate ending they had.
Oh yeah, you and I watched that. If you have not watched that, I might try to see if I can find it and link it in the description of the podcast. If you haven't seen the behind the scenes of Blade. Please find it and watch it. It's really interesting. It's really good. But then they show us the kind of like how they, one of the alternate endings. Well, no, we got two, didn't we? Because we got
there was only the one. Yeah, because basically it was like, So it was the one ending that kind of led off to two. So basically you had Stephen, you had Deacon Frost as a Whirlwind of Blood.
Oh, that was
because there was, yeah,
it was bad.
Yeah, because like it was basically because it was explained in a deleted scene, like when he's talking to what's her name again?
Your girl. Oh, and the Boucher, right?
Yeah, this song's her saying like describing what it was like a storm, blah blah blah, it's blood, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Like, and then he becomes that, and it is really bad. And then after they beat him, they end up outside talking about, so he's saying that it's over, blah blah blah, and then all of a sudden you see a vampire in the distance that's apparently Morbius.
Yes, that's it. And considering what we got from Morbius,
yeah, he was cut for a reason.
He was cut for a reason.
Even
that, yeah, he was a curse.
Oh.
No one needs to see this. Lessons were not learned in that instance.
Yeah, the only time
someone thought, "Wait, back on."
Now, the only time, the only time you'll see good Morbius if you watch the Spider-Man animated series. That's literally all you're gonna get from me.
Yep. Be careful out there, kids. Don't watch it. It's not Morbin time.
Wow! How dare you, sis? How dare you put Morphin time in Morbin? No. Apologize. Apologize.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. It's the fact that even 98, so it's like,
nope. Cut it out. It's not worth it.
I mean, like I said, the effects, the one they went with was the best option, is what we'll say. What you see in Blade is the best option because the graphics just weren't there. It just didn't have the ability, and it's that whole thing like in the 90s where a lot of things struggled with fluids and liquids, I'll say, like in effects. It hadn't made that full, like the leap that came after Finding Nemo.
But to be fair,
Finding Nemo changed the game in terms of like water.
But to be fair, I don't think the effects are as bad as you remember them. I don't think that. I think
they still hold up pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like they hold up well. To be fair, I don't see them.
What the finished or the cut?
The finished. We're not talking about the cut.
The finished. But, you know, but I feel like because I'm always aware that some people are like are new to this, and some people kind of go in like, oh, I've been, because they go with sometimes they do this thing where, and I've noticed it online and just in general, people kind of go with the lens of 2022-2023 getting used to that level of effects and almost seamless quality, you know, we're at like 8K and all that stuff now, and then they watch something from the 90s and they're like, huh. So I'm like, manage the expectations, it's 1998, but also it's still no Mummy, it's still no Scorpion King, it's still no
Scorpion King in Mummy Returns.
I will put no disrespect on Dwayne's name, but the effects at the end of Mummy Returns, Mummy 2, where the Scorpion King reveals himself,
that hasn't aged well in the 4K masses.
That's all I mean. It's to cinema.
Yeah, it looked worse now.
I saw that in the cinema, and I can tell you, it's the first time out of context I've heard all these go, ooh.
Because I remember I was getting excited. I thought, oh, it's going to be like Brendan Fraser and the Rock Fighter. That's going to be awesome. Was he due back at WWE? I don't understand why they couldn't. What?
I just remember saying, how quickly has special effects gone off? As in, literally, what happened?
Yeah, very possible, by the way.
And we saw the cinema. It's like, wait, they expired. It was bad. But yeah, it's not that bad. And they manage it well. But I just feel like the water is sometimes the fluids a bit like. But I'm just managing expectations, and it's not the worst out there. I'm saying for the 90s.
But let's talk about the follow up Blade 2. How do we feel about Blade 2?
Yeah. Actually, my favorite Blade.
Yeah, I have to agree.
That's my favorite Blade.
But 2 took it to a new level.
Because I heard the most confusing phrase that I've ever heard in my entire life.
What's that?
Hold up. Hold up. I'm beginning now. Since you say that, why am I picturing Ron Perlman got something to do with it?
No, actually, it's not. The most confusing sentence ever to come out of Blade 2 is, so Luke Goss is what now?
Oh.
Bros for life.
I'm sorry. Right, okay. For those of you who don't care, Luke Goss, who was the main antagonist in Blade 2, used to be in a boy band in the UK called Bros. He's actually Will I Be Famous? Yeah. Bros. Even though I think that's a bit rude looking back on it, because they actually were twins, almost identical twins, with an X-Man called Craig. I'll never forget that.
What's that random? The two twins and this boy, this random guy. Who the hell's random guy?
Random guy, Craig, but they called the group Bros. I'm like, you're just saying, oh, just by the way, you'll never be part of us, yeah? It's almost like reminding how you're just an X-Man. You're just literally an extra. So they had a quite successful career in the 90s, I guess, for a bit, and then faded into obscurity, as many boy bands do. And then I was confused when I saw someone giving Wesley Snipes a real run for his money in terms of martial arts, and then to find out that it's Luke Goss from Bros is the main antagonist. And also that lightning strikes twice, because he was also really good in Hellboy 2, where he's also the antagonist.
He plays a really good bad guy. He plays a really good vibe. He's a really good combat bad guy. It's quite a shame you actually see him as much anymore. Like,
that's a shame.
I can't think of what I've seen him in last recently. He's probably doing Olivia Jones, bless him.
Actually, you know what? There was a Bros reunion. I'm not even joking.
Shut up, there was not.
I'm not. Yeah. There's a Bros reunion. It's like there's a documentary about everything.
No, seriously, that documentary, I thought it was a spoof, but I realized the levels are something else. I could honestly say, if the masses are not doing anything and you want a real laugh, watch this Bros documentary. You will never see two grown men speak about their passion for Conkers. Yeah, so yeah, that's what I'm saying. You need to watch this documentary, because I watched it and I thought that this has got to be a wind up.
Well, for Conkers, you say?
Yep, Conkers saying, although the generation are gamers right now, but there's nothing compared to playing Conkers with your mates. I'm like, mate, you want to back up with that talk, yeah?
Because I just say that Conkers is no Dark Souls. Can I just say that? Like,
But you know what? I kind of get what you're saying, though. Because like, it's funny, cause I was talking to one of our cousins recently, Joe, yeah. And we were just talking about how today's kids don't really have much imagination or don't want to talk anymore, because I remember back in the day, like when Marvin, my other cousin Marvin, would come over, and I didn't always have a console. A lot of times we just had toys and blah 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 or imagination. Like, we got hours, and I mean hours of enjoyment with Rubber Band.
For real.
Like, legitimately, yeah. Like, we would use that as our version of catch, and like, we would try and flick it in certain ways to get like good spins and give flicks. It was like, that was hours of entertainment, like, for us. We called it Rubber Band game. It was ridiculous. Like, we had
someone who got hit by them, yeah.
hey, you in the crossfire, you knew the risk. It's your own fault. But anyway, but I kind of get what you say. I kind of get what they're saying. I kind of get it. So, you know, but yeah. Just saying. Devil's advocate.
Just saying. But back to Blade 2. Hello?
Yeah.
You were talking.
Oh, sorry. No, everyone just went... what did I do? Yeah, bro, no. Back to Blade 2, because that came out quite a while after...
Yeah, it was like 2000 and... when was it? I can't remember. Oh, no!
I'll give it to you. 2003, was it?
It was 2000.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
2002. Okay. Oh, okay. So 2002 came out. Again, a different director, because Stephen Norrington by that point had retired, if I'm not mistaken.
And that director is.
Oh, the new director.
Yeah.
Del Toro himself, Guillermo del Toro. Yeah, that was the first time I actually knew who he was through Blade, and like his work from that point onwards has always been a joy to watch. Like, he's an amazing director.
Even though I have a place in my heart for Mimic. I do have a place in my heart for that movie. I really do, because I can see, like, it's like when you watch Frighteners and you can see the beginning of like the Ring Wraiths with Peter Jackson into Lord of the Rings. You can see, like, from Mimic, you can kind of see where some spectres keep reappearing in Del Toro's work.
Mm.
Like, that long, tall, the way he manipulates shadow and stuff. As you can tell, I really do love Guillermo del Toro.
You hide it well.
Thank you. I try. I really, really try. Yeah.
But also, from Blade 2, you also got Norman Reedus, that was like, that was the first thing I ever saw him in.
I think I saw him in that, and then it was Boondock Saints. I remember seeing him in.
Yep.
See, and then after that, I got an amazing appreciation for Ron Perlman.
Yeah, he was good in that too, and so was one of our favourite other people,
Danny.
Sorry.
Danny John Jules.
Thank you very much, bruv. Got it right. Cat. I mean, I love Donny.
He was underused, and that Donny Yen was underused.
Every time to Danny, every time. Oh,
yeah,
in there long enough. God damn it, just wasn't in there long enough.
But to be fair, again, he got more FaceTime than Donny Yen, because I
will. That's true.
Yeah, because when I saw Donny Yen, I was like, that's Donny Yen. Holy crap, Donny Yen! So I was like, oh, him versus Blade. Yes. I was like, oh.
Only just got to draw a line on the floor, and that was it.
My man was killed off like 5 seconds into the film. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but still. But you don't put Danny Yen in a film like that and not have him fight the main character. I'm just saying.
Or take on at least like a plethora of Reapers, like non-stop 15-minute Reaper fight. Yeah. Like, that's what I want to see with Donnie Yen.
He took on one.
I know.
Just,
didn't even go well.
That's the thing, because like with Blade 2. There has so many really cool characters.
Yes.
Like, it does. And a lot of them were just cannon fodder, which was cannon fodder, but which was just a shame. Because, what was his name? Lighthammer? He looked so cool.
So cool. Yeah. The concept design was really. It's one of the things with, once again, Guillermo on there. It's one of the things where the set design, because obviously it got more budget this time around.
Yeah.
You know? they grossed really well. Got enough decent to know there's an audience there, so they had some really good money to come, coming in. And Guillermo can still make a little bit of money, go a long way. And also, I think one of the things I love about Blade 2 is it's, you know, I may sound like a James A. Janisse from Dead Meat, but practical effects. Because even when you watch it back now, the practical effects on the Reapers really still stand up because of like how light falls and distribution and everything else like that. So, and because a lot of that is like a use of, I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong, Guillermo will use CGI, we know that, but he knows when to place it, if you get what I mean, and how to use it.
Yeah, definitely.
But he does prefer a practical effect. So a lot of the like Reapers and stuff were puppets that you can manipulate and that were used. So especially, I think the best example of that is when they do the Reaper autopsy. I think you and I, brother, probably watched that the extras quite a few times.
Yeah.
You can see the whole thing, like the whole top is just like is basically like made out of, you know, rubber and what have you. And they have like, two people like manning it or something where it could pump out. It's so good. Honestly, it's just so enjoyable. And Luke Goss can fight. Yep. I mean, the bar's high because Wesley, obviously, we know Wesley's skilled and he can do his thing. Donnie Yen's on set, he's like, oh, pressure. And then Luke is like, hold up. I know I asked, when will I be famous? Right now, I'm going to show you something. And he showed us some things. Because I remember at one point that he gave Blade the elbow. And I was like,
yeah, he literally went to the top rope. He went to the top rope.
To the top. And I was like, oh, man, you got coursed up. I owe you nothing, Blade. I owe you nothing.
All right, we have to talk about the elephant in the room.
We
have to talk about the elephant in the room. Sis, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. Okay. All right, Blade Trinity.
Well, Matt wasn't there, and he.
Sis.
Okay.
Right, can I take this one slightly about Blade Trinity?
Yeah, go for it.
Right, the film is called Blade Trinity, right?
Yes.
So how come Blade is hardly in the film?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because there were issues between the director, David Goya, and the actor, Wesley Snipes.
Now, wasn't David Goya the one that got Wesley Snipes the role?
Yeah.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Please enlighten us, brother. What happened there?
There were a few disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Let me just talk about the scene in two that they cut out with him in the pit.
The Hugh Hefner scenes.
Let's talk about the Hugh Hefner scenes from part two.
His very red silk dressing gown.
And that girl Nisa draped on that.
Yeah. What kind of gets me is about those scenes. I didn't see the scenes that led up to that point, because I can't imagine scenes that led up to that point, because
that's the thing. And can we also say the elephant in the room is that Nisa and Blade didn't really have any sexual chemistry whatsoever.
What are you talking about? She gave him head. I mean, well.
Wow.
Well. Well, vampire head when she fed, when he fed her. But there was no chemistry between them at all.
Basically, Delaney Neville, go on. She's the Trinity. What happened?
That was a shit show. It was a shit show. Like, disagreements because. Let's play. I'm on call a spade a spade, because like Wesley Snipes didn't want to share the limelight.
Yeah.
And I kind of get it to an extent from his point of view, because at the end of the day, the film was called Blade Trinity, not Blade and the whatever they were called. What were they called? The Dark Stalkers, whatever they were called. Night Watchers, the Night Stalkers.
Scooby Gang.
So like. Give credit where credit's due. They put a limelight on Ryan Reynolds, and he is at the point where we know and love him to this day, and probably forever until he turns out to be a child killer or something like that. But but yeah, it The thing is, like, you can only read into what you have online, which is not much, other than that Wesley Snipes wanted it a certain way and basically wanted to be referred to as Blade throughout the whole film. So I don't know if he was going through that whole method thing. But when multiple people are saying that he was acting one way, you kind of got to be, let's like say, like, yeah, okay, maybe he was acting one way. Like, but it was a bad film. There were disagreements. David Goyer almost got killed by Wesley Snipes. He had to hire people to protect him, and apparently Wesley Snipes forgot the protection. So that's just a lot about the discord that was happening behind the scenes.
Footage. Footage. Some motherfuckers indeed are trying to high scale film.
Yeah. But one thing I will say, David Goyer should not have been a director.
No. Like, that's not where his talent lies, in my opinion.
Definitely. Like, the man started off as a comic book writer, and yeah, writing is his forte. I've noticed a trend when writers, especially comic book writers, decide to do directing, you get Spirit, you get RoboCop 3, you get you get Blade Trinity.
In my chest. Oh, I think we need to do a whole episode on like the Spirit.
Well, I mean, I've got to watch the Blade film. I haven't watched this film to this day. I don't like, as much as I want to see Samuel Jackson in a Nazi uniform, I don't know if I want to.
Look, you know what, right? When you mentioned the Spirit, I'm not going to lie. That was one of the rare occasions I was ready to throw hands in the cinema. Because,
sorry, did you say that that's a rare occasion?
Yeah, I got to believe that's bullshit. That?
Don't hex this recording, Rude Boy, and don't lie. Okay? Christ, do not lie like that. Mm-hmm. Come on. First time. Bro, did you hear that? Oh my god, I'm sorry, I'm gonna shut up now because anyway,
no,
you were saying.
Because I couldn't believe what I've seen on screen. Yeah, because I've never been so disappointed at that point in a film where I just thought, you know, this film might actually slap. I was ready to, yeah, I'm all in. And then when I saw Samuel Jackson in a Nazi suit, that was the icing on the cake.
I've got to say, it looked pretty.
I mean, a lot. You know what? I think we're gonna have to do a whole pretty looking films that disappoint series in our episode in the future.
All right. I'm gonna bring up another elephant room.
Wait, Triple H in?
He was. Yeah. That's the reason why he doesn't act anymore. I'm not saying he was bad. I'm just gonna say he wasn't good.
You know what? But at least Triple H, he understood. He went, I did badly, and didn't do it again. Unlike some people in wrestling who don't take a hint.
I don't know who you're possibly.
And kept going about.
It's a bit harsh to say about Dwayne, but anyway.
I was not talking about Dwayne. I'm talking about someone before Dwayne.
You mean Three Ninjas Knuckle Up and all them dodgy old fools he made, yeah?
What, No Holds Barred and Mr. Nanny is what I'm talking about.
Oh, no. Anytime I think of No Holds Barred, I think of one scene.
Oh, no.
When he picks him out from the limo and he goes, Dookie!
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, another elephant in the room. Okay. When it comes to the Blade. Okay, it comes to. Who remembers the Blade series?
Oh, I tried to forget it.
Say what?
Well, that was Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers, indeed.
That was. I actually talked to him about it.
Oh, what did he have to say about that? Please tell me. Please tell us all.
It was. This is back in the day when I was used to, work in radio, and he was really hyping it, and I had to be really quiet because it was like I'm outnumbered, outmanned, and outgunned. I'm not gonna be upfront. I could not say anything to him because I was outnumbered, outmanned, and outgunned. And I probably would have taken, and I could have taken on that entourage. So it's when he left that I said to him that he was working with, yeah, it ain't gonna be good. It's just not gonna be good. He was hyped to it, but I don't think he read the assignment.
To be fair, I've actually watched a couple of episodes of it.
Yeah,
it ain't good. It's not good. It's not good. I can't defend it. It's not good. The problem is him.
Yeah,
he's not a good actor. He's not a good actor at all. The thing is, you can tell he's trying. He's but trying his best.
He just doesn't got it.
He's stuck. So him replacing Wesley Snipes is like William Dafoe being replaced by Jai Courtney in Spider-Man. but am I wrong?
Oof. You're not. And you know another thing as well. I think if memory serves, didn't LL Cool J get approached to be Blade?
He was approached to be Blade in the first film. Yeah.
Oh.
But to be fair, we've been better than the Sticky Fingers.
Yeah. Well, look, okay.
Security guard in Halloween, and yeah, it'd be cool.
Look, I'm just gonna say this, and this is my opinion. Not all rappers can act. Okay, not all rappers are the wonderful Clifford Smith, aka Method Man, who's getting Emmy nominated for his role in Power. Yeah.
Oh, poor Kirk Jones, aka Sticky Fingers.
Oh god,
the man called him Sticky Fingers. Yeah, I think he's pretty much writing on the wall from that.
He's been Sticky Fingers and had a decent rap career for quite a while, big man. In fairness. Even though there was an event that I was at where he walked off after doing two songs because the crowd didn't respond the way he wanted.
That's it. Take him a ball. No, go home. Jimmy.
And the maddest thing about that night is that an artist called Talib Kweli was in the audience and I had to ask him if he would mind finishing the show. And he did. He did do that. He did actually finish the show impromptu. This is back in the day in Subterranea. Yeah, that was... Yeah, that happened. That was the thing. And, that was, and the mad thing is it was actually Sticky Fingers' own album release party. That's what made it more well, confusing. So,
Their own album launch party.
Wow. Yep.
All right. Yeah. Okay, well, actually... continuing on the
what I'm just gonna say, but we are actually forgetting after the Hindi season 3 that didn't even do very well, Trinity in the box office, we are forgetting Wesley Snipes' other fantastic performance as Blade.
Oh yeah, and What We Do in the Shadows.
It is a superb 5 minutes of honest. Once again, I'm going to trumpet it. I've trumpeted it last season. I'm going to do it again for this season. Wesley Snipes in What We Do in the Shadows is a delight. I'm not going to tell you what he's doing there. But he's absolutely wonderful. And it's a great surprise to
you. That whole episode was just hilarious. Because it was just full of just Easter eggs and cameos. It was just great. It was so
completely,
good.
Completely. Like, we can't even talk about it more. Because like, if we do, we'll blow it. But it's so good. I like the fact that someone's like, I don't even listen to you because you're a daywalker. And I can't tell you who that is unless you watch it. So watch What We Do in the Shadows season, I think. What?
Okay.
Watch all the seasons, they're all damn good. But anyway, yeah.
Alright, continuing the journey of Blade. Now, I recently started playing Midnight Suns, Marvel video game, which is very good. If you haven't played it, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of, it's really fun. If you're new to the franchise, you learn a lot. If you're old to the franchise, you get reminded of some of a bunch of things in the Marvel mythology. It's a great game. But one of the most perfect castings that's in the game, and it's blown my mind that this I have never thought about this, was Michael Jai White as Blade in game. He does the voice for Blade. And
he does?
Yeah, and it, like I sent you that I sent a video in our group chat. I sent a video of him dressed as Blade doing promotion for the game.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Oh my god!
But yeah, he does the voice for Blade in the game, and he obviously it fits him well, and considering that Michael Jai White is a legit badass, like. If you ask me who would win the fight, him or Wesley Snipes, I'll probably say him.
But my God, every time.
But yeah, but like, his voice is on point for Blades. He's so good, and I was like, he would have been perfect for like I think he still would be perfect for Blades, to be honest.
Michael Jai White is so horrific how underused he is.
Yeah.
It incenses me that like every time he gets so close. Something happens. His bit in Kill Bill that got cut.
Oh, that still breaks my heart.
To this day, because it was perfection. And I'll try and find it and link it. But Michael, Michael.
Wasn't
enough for you, babe.
And to be fair, he was the first real attempt at mainstream comic book film with Spawn because it came out in 97. He was the first. He would have been the first. Yeah. If that hit, he would have been the first player, technically. He would have been the first Wesley Snipes, technically.
He's like full of almost, and it's nothing to do with his talent. Mm. That's the annoying thing. It's not like he's like, I wish you were good. It's like, he is good.
Mm. I think the biggest mainstream thing anyone would have seen him in is Dark Knight.
Yeah.
What kind of gets me about Michael Jai White is that he's so diverse because one, he can do comedy. His comedy, like, he works a lot with Tyler Perry in his production company. He's worked on his comedy shows. He's come up with age films. He is so diverse in acting, and again, he is a legit badass. He does 7-8 different types of martial arts. He does how-tos on his YouTube channel, which I watch regularly. And I remember as an interview he did a while back where a guy asked him, could he beat Bruce Lee? But yeah. And I was like, I'm not gonna argue with him. And a guy was like, you really think you can beat Bruce Lee? And then Michael Jai was like, okay, I weigh 200-something pounds, and that's most of it's muscle. Bruce Lee weighed about, 100 and something? I outweigh him. And to be fair, he hasn't fought in competition. I fought in competition most of my life. So, yeah, I think I could beat Bruce Lee. And I was like, facts. I'm arguing with him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Especially as somebody as talented in the seven techniques that he is as well.
Mm.
Oh, Michael, it's just always close but no cigar, and like I said it's not because his ability is crap, it's not because it's like, oh, I would cut him out, it's just always like ran out of time, not a good fit, blah blah blah. It's just like, gee, one day, Michael, one day.
Yeah.
So you're an excellent Blade.
He wasn't pretty. He's a great Blade. He's a great Blade
in the Midnight Suns.
And we come to the current journey with
Mashallah Ali.
There he is. It comes out next year, if I'm not mistaken, because there's been a few problems.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad they're doing it in England, because to those people who don't know, technically, Blade is British.
Yeah.
He was born in England. He has a British passport, according to the comic books, because he did join MI5 in the comic books, joined their team. And MI5 was it MI6? It was MI something, he joined that team. But yeah, it was confirmed that he's a Brit. So not only is he black, he's British. Represents us.
Represent. Wait, Robbie G, will he come back? Oh my God, the excitement. Please.
Well, it's a different studio, but let's put it out there.
Robbie, they're going to be on the home ground, man. It was okay. Come again, my selector, yeah? Actually, no, you weren't. You were in the other film. You were in the world. You weren't in Blade. What am I doing?
You racist!
Wow.
But to be fair, I was thinking the exact same thing you were thinking, to be fair, so I'm not going to lie. But still.
It's fine. Robbie, put it out there. Robbie T and MCU. The cherry. The
who can you play? Who would you play? Who can you play in MCU? See, I'm trying to think. Robbie G, MCU.
I don't know, but bigger than his role in DC. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about? He was great in those 5 seconds.
Robbie G's a national hit. That's what treasure. This episode has a lot of treasures in it. A lot of Brit treasure up in this. Danny John Jules, Robbie G. Oh my gosh. Bros.
Bros.
Who knew? So, you know what? Can I be honest and say I'm scared?
Of what?
I am scared of the next Blade. I'm like, because I tend to blank Trinity from my memory. I just pretend it doesn't exist. And I really enjoy 1. 2 is my favorite. It just has the elements. And that's the thing, there are some parts of 2 which I can be like, but I like the kind of the switch and bait that you thought you were on one thing and it becomes a different story. And I agree with you, brother. A lot of the issues with 2 are around there's too much cannon fodder and too much, and the cannon fodder's really good people where you're like, but I wanted 10 more minutes, please, you know. So there's that. But I just want it to be so good. And if the rumors are true about who's going to play certain people, I'm excited. Mm. I'm also scared.
Do you think if the person that we're thinking of plays that role, would it be a Blackula or would it be like?
I don't know. My only sister says no Jive.
Aww.
And no Cotney, because if this person,
aww,
if this person. Is, it's going to be like Dick Van Dyke all over again, and we can't have that.
Mary Poppins!
Mary Poppins! Blade, me old gazer!
May he rest in peace. Wait, he's still alive. Never mind. He's okay. He's still alive. Yeah, he's still alive. My bad. I apologize. Rest in power.
If I hear this person accuse Blade of being a road man, that'll be it. I don't know how I'm going to cope. I don't know how I'm going to cope.
And I guess we'll find out in a year or so.
Pick and pull in your Air Force Ones.
I think we should call it there. I think we should go and call it there on that note.
I'm sorry, that was so... You know, bruv, you have taken me on a journey today. I didn't think I'd be talking about Bros. Sticky Fingers acting career. J.D. Hall. And quoting When Will I Be Famous and other greatest hits from Bros. Let alone Robbie G, do you know what I mean?
No, seriously, there were other hits. I thought it was saying When Will I Be Famous.
They had 2 albums.
They had 2 albums?
They had 2.
With songs on them? Like, what you see? I'm genuinely confused. Okay, whatever. Cool. I was. Oh wow! Sure.
They might even had 3. I'm not even sure.
They did not have three. No, they did not have 3. You're lying.
That note, honestly, I've not laughed at half in a long time. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have, because we clearly have enjoyed ourselves. If you would like to reach out to us, you can email at stjudesavengers@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at messeduppod and Twitter at andmessed. Big man, what is your socials?
You can find me on Instagram at Mr_Roberts_V1 and Twitter at War3782. Mr. Classic, how about you, sir?
You can find me on YouTube under InstantClassic_KB, as in Kilo Bravo, and you can also find me on TikTok, Instagram and Twitch under InstantClassic_gaming.
Thank you all, hope you enjoy yourselves and keep safe and don't be one of those motherfuckers trying to ice scalp hill, okay?
Motherfucker, I'll kill you. And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.